Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 51 of the Thrillers Global Podcast. We're back, and I'm your host, CJ. Alongside me tonight on this hot Sydney night, I don't know about Melbourne, maybe Yanni can tell us. How are you, Yanni?
I'm fantastic, mate. Glad to be back. Now, Melbourne's fine, man. Melbourne's like surprisingly fine, actually, 21 degrees. So, yeah.
Beautiful. Well, I hope you're enjoying the cool weather down there. I tell you who's not enjoying the weather, and that's every Ike fan around the world. But regardless of the weather, every Olympiacos fan is loving it after our beautiful 4-1 thumping. And it was basically the El Cabi show with like a bit of Martins on it. So,
yeah.
Sorry, my phone went off. Yeah, it was such a very good derby day. And I feel like it's a habit. Olympiacos just seem to always smash AEK in the Kariskaki.
You know what's funny? I was actually thinking the exact same thing in my head. I was like, every derby we play, PAOK. I remember like some losses, some tough losses as well. Panathinaikos, some tough losses, even Aris recently. With AEK, especially in Karaiskakis, I don't remember like a big loss, like a tough loss, like maybe a bad draw, maybe like an unfortunate like 1-0, but like Olympiacos always gets like big results against AEK. And this one was huge because now we're top of the table with 1 point difference and we've gotten all the derbies out of the way. And if I'm not mistaken, this was the only one we played at home, right? So every other game now, every other derby is going to be at home, correct?
I think so. Did we play PAOK and PAOK was at Tumba.
Panathinaikos was at Leoforos. I don't know about Aris.
That's Aris, the only one. We lost at home. I think it was
at Thessaloniki.
Yes. So, I mean,
Thessaloniki.
Yeah, our biggest challenge was Panathinaikos, I reckon. At home, but yeah, Yanni, you know, three things are certain in life: taxes and Olympiacos thumping Ike at home. Before we get into it, I think we haven't consistently. our fourth show of the season. So apologies to everyone. Or people watching live right now. But the EuroLeague basketball, I think Olympiacos have gone on a bit of a beautiful 6-match winning streak there, Yanni.
So Fournier has finally, not finally, because like, it has been a while. We just haven't done a show, but it is what it is. Has finally picked up massive form, incredible. Not that he was out of form, but like really, really showed up as the superstar he is. Scored 19 and then 20 plus points in 4 or 5 consecutive games. Incredible. Bet Real Madrid, bet Barcelona, both in CEF. Bet Panathinaikos. And then I can't remember which other two teams, but basically we beaten all the top 4 or 5 teams. Apart from Fenerbahce and Paris, which we haven't played yet, if I'm not mistaken. So it's been incredible. We have Sasa out for roughly 2 weeks, which is unfortunate, but still the team is picking up steam. It's not looking to like it's slowing down, even in the game against... Oh, damn, this what happens. Sometimes I forget the games. There was a game at home that we should have won. We should have dominated. We didn't dominate, but we still won. And I think that shows that like we are really, really gonna be a title contender this year. It was against Lyon Villarbuena as well. So,
and I think at the moment, Yanni, if I'm not mistaken, we're sitting second.
At the moment, I believe. Let me check. Yeah, we're sitting second. We did lose to Fener, who is sitting at the top spot. But, you know, like, it is It's not like the start. It's not the midpoint exactly. It's in between, and it's a phenomenal start because so many big games are out of the way. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So, well, I'm really excited.
It's looking to be a very exciting season there, and we can now say the same about soccer, about football, about the Olympiacos, because at the start there, the league wasn't looking. Looking too crash hot. It was very tight, obviously, but now it's very, very, very interesting. So, Yanni, if we'll dig into the game now, let's start with the starting lineup. So Lakis in goals. Mm-hmm. We had Rodinef on the right, Retsos, Carmo, Ortega, and in the middle, Garcia, Mouzakidis, and going forward, Chiquinho, Costulas, Martins, and Aston Villa's dad up front, El Gabi.
Yep.
And I think I just want to say one thing as well. Far out, three injuries this game. Carmo and Chiquinho got pretty messed up there for a bit. And Costulas copped a fapa and a half from Mantalos as well. I haven't checked up on Carmo. Hopefully that injury and obviously Jiquinho is not too bad and it won't hinder our match on Friday against FCSB. But before we get into all that stuff, your initial thoughts, Yanni, on the lineup?
To be honest, this is the first time I look at the lineup and the formation. And I am surprised that because I thought Rodney at some point moved up,
He did.
Yeah. So, but to have two, for me, he had two goal contributions, that thing to put pressure on the Ike defenders. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if he got the assist for that. I don't think he did, but to put pressure on the Ike defenders, to lose the ball for El Kabi to score his third goal, and then to assist Gelson Martins, incredible to do that. He didn't play the whole game, so that was insane. But I think based on the 11, the only thing that to me is a bit surprising, but maybe I just haven't seen enough recently, which to be honest, I haven't. Dani Garcia, I thought he was going to start, what's his name? The Argentinian one.
He's injured.
He's injured. And I just saw it. But nah, man, like, good. It's a good line. I don't know.
To be honest, I don't think it was gonna get any more. Like, I don't think our lineup can get any more different than what it was. Like, apart from today's performance, it's still like we're putting a right back in attacking position. That's obviously our biggest concern. So in obviously Yazici, whatever the hell his name, obviously his injury is hindered us a bit. Velde seems to have fallen out of favor. You know, he's not even in the match day squad.
I think William
might be carrying a bit of an injury. If not, he's fallen out of favor.
Yeah.
Oliveira has also seems like he's fallen out of favor. Like Yaremchuk as well. he's not getting any game time. So I think January is going to be very busy, and we'll touch up on some of the transfer rumors that have popped up, and one really exciting one. I don't know how that would ever happen. Yeah. I mean, we couldn't afford Pedence, so I don't think we're affording the player that we'll talk about later on.
Nah, he'll come for the love of the game and for the passion of the team, I think.
He's not coming for a holiday or the Yiranka, this was Ortega's second game back. I think it was just a really good matchup. I'm not gonna lie, on my, I don't know about you, Yanni, but on my behalf, there was a bit of anxiety going into this game. And I think in our group chat, I think you hit the nail on the head earlier that, oh no, it might have been William, with the money Ike have spent this season, have been extremely underwhelming. And I thought this game they would actually turn it around for themselves, but that I think they're just plummeting.
Yeah,
they more underwhelming performances every week.
100%. When you look at the teams on paper, you think Ike has the best team
in Greece.
Name-wise, like it's amazing. And seeing what Ike fans' reactions, everybody said, why didn't Pineda start? Apparently, he's been one of their best players, if not the best player. They wanted Pineda to start. He didn't start. Mandalo started, which, I don't know, like, I'm not saying anything bad about Mandalos, but I was just surprised that, like, so many other years he was on and off, you know what I mean? And I thought at some point, like, a couple years ago, I thought he was going to leave the team, but he started over Pineda, which is interesting. And a lot of people are blaming Almeida, which I don't know. Everybody's saying like it's a coaching problem, which I don't know. What's happening at Ike is definitely, I think the coach will be the one to go first. They're not going to change the team before they change the coach. That never happens. But yeah, it's unfortunate. And you know, it's unfortunate because we wanted them to do good in Conference League. They got knocked out by Noah's Ark. but you want the teams to do good. Like, you got Martial.
Yeah,
I have friends here, like, telling me, oh, Martial went to Athens, went to Greece. Like, no one told me, oh, El Kabir came to Olympiacos. Or Gelson Martins. No one said that. But and then you see this happening, and you're just like, and I think we did what we should have done. 4-1 is deservedly so, like, in a team that's struggling like Ike.
Yeah, I think it'd be surprising if we woke up tomorrow and didn't see Almeida sacked. And I'm not saying, we're not an Ike podcast, but I just want to say something real quick. Like, he's done so much for the club. He's won the league. I think he was there when they won the Kipelo.
He did the double.
But I also think that a coach can lose the locker room. And I think that's what's really happening with Ike right now. And Pineda, Levi Garcia, they got Lamela, Gasinovic, Martial. They've got such a good team, and I just think their coach has run its course. Unfortunately, I don't think he has it in him to keep it going. But who gives a shit? We're not an Ike podcast.
But you are right, though. Yeah.
If we're talking about it as like a Greek football thing, then they should have been in the Conference League, man. That team.
And I think.
Yeah.
No. Go. Sorry.
I was just going to say, like, with the team that they have, you know, that's like a European sort of team right there. Like, there's no way, like, if they knew they weren't going to play in the Conference League or Europa League, whatever it is, like, half those players wouldn't have been there. They purely came to play in Europe and they failed. Well, I think Martial came after, but who cares anyway.
Yeah, he did, but yeah. No, that's 100% true. And I think, look, you got to look at it. He won the double in his first season. Insane. Then the second season, though, he fumbled the league and really badly.
Mm.
I really messed up the league. And now this is the third season and it's not looking good, even though with the crazy reinforcement, new president as well. So he wasn't even this president's hire. With the Conference League thing you said, when Olympiacos doesn't get points in Europe or when he's not in Europe, I personally don't look at PAOK or Panathinaikos, because I know Panathinaikos in the past was a beast in Europe, for Greece at least, but right now they don't historically get a lot of points in recent times. and you look at Ike, because Ike used to get like some serious points like after us, after Olympiacos. So it's unfortunate. And now they have Aris, which is good for us, because whatever happens in that game, those are two teams that are going to be, if it's a draw, they're going to go further away from us in the league position. If it's a win for Aris, plummets Ike. If Ike wins, plummets Aris. So these things are looking up for us. And yeah, who are we playing next? AFC and in the league?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you, Yanni, as well. And just to touch up on this season as well, like Panathinaikos and Bark especially, that like you kind of laugh at it, like especially Panathinaikos in their last two Conference League games, like they're just pathetic. Like with Bark, it's like they versus United. Let's be honest. Like,
yeah.
Like them getting a win, like they honestly could have won. They could have come away that match with something. They miss some eight, like
yeah. Who missed it? Yeah, the Brazilian. Yeah.
Like, but I mean, that's football, man, and it's against like it's United. Like, yeah, they're shit, but still.
It's
Bark.
Yeah,
it's Bark.
And you know, like that's it.
It's just like, is Olympiacos really carrying? We're reverting. I feel like we're reverting again, and Olympiacos is carrying. Mm. It's like we need to stop that. We need to really stop that. And like Panathinaikos against Chelsea, like fair enough. Like you're not going to do much, but half the team
is ridiculous. And Chelsea's playing their B team. Like it's ridiculous. 4-0 in front of, because you know, I don't know if you know this because we're not a Panathinaikos channel, but they moved the game to Oaka. They didn't play in Leoforos. So they dragged there about 50 to 60,000 people. They even did a promotion where, like, if you buy a ticket there, you get like another one half price or something like that. Because they did it with Olympiacos as well. So if you had attended at Olympiacos, you get like a discount at Chelsea, or you get a free pass, something like that. Something weird. But to do all that, and then Olympiacos, Panathinaikos, boringest game of the season. And then Chelsea, 4-0, to lose 4-0 is like, if you are lost 2-1, even like 3-1, 4-1, like 4-2, like score a goal or two, fine. You know, like you gave it a goal, but like even that game, like it was lost from the start, I feel like. So
yeah, exactly. So I mean, like we'll touch up a bit now. Now we're basically halfway through Europe. So Olympiacos is up against FCSB and they're, I think, 1 point in front of us. They're in the top eight of the Europa League, and a win for us
is massive.
Depending on other results, is massive. We could crack into that top eight, and it's one of those things where it's like you're looking at things, and yes, we got four games left, but it's like if we had just beaten Rangers, and that was a really ugly game to watch. It was very difficult. It was early Olympiacos of this season where it was very, very like in your face what our problems are. Not problems, but the lack of creativity. It is a problem. The lack of creativity as well.
Yeah, that's a problem.
And it's not a matter of the players we have aren't good enough. They just don't have the right players in the right positions. That is obviously something. I think the plan was and it looks like it from the start of the season, it was like, do what you have to qualify for Europa League. And then in January, we're going to get the players that we need. And that's obviously what's going to happen, because I guess we can talk about the latest rumor is just saying it is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Neymar Jr. is rumored at like a 40% chance to join Olympiacos. Now, personally, it's not happening in a million years. I hope I'm wrong, because that would be the craziest thing ever to happen in Olympiacos. It's just like the Conference League was, but like we're talking about transfers now. This would be bigger than Rivaldo.
Honestly, it's up there with the Conference League though, because Neymar is top three players in the world. Not right now, but like you know, like, it's not
once upon a time.
He's not 35, 37, you know, like, you're still getting,
yeah, he's still got legs in him, yeah.
Well, yeah, by far, yeah. Like, how old is he? He's like 32. 32 is insane. You're getting a 32-year-old Neymar.
It can't be worse than Willian.
A slight upgrade, yeah.
Slight. Look, yeah. I don't think we have 400k an Instagram post. So,
yeah, I don't know, man. Yeah. No, I think
maybe give it some Kolokithia an Instagram post or something.
Yeah,
maybe a new race car.
Yeah, we can just make him. We can make him like mayor of Piraeus, and then, yeah, I think that's
maybe nah. Just buy him an island. I don't know if you saw when Martial joined AEK, the owner put him in like
in the race car.
Guy like was fit. You just look it on his face.
He looked
it was hilarious.
But it was, I don't know. It was interesting to watch, I guess. But now, you know what's funny? We were linked with Zaha at the start of the season. Remember Zaha?
Oh, Wilfred Zaha.
Wilfred Zaha, yeah. And I remember like the pages were posting it up and somebody in the comments was just like, because the post was like, oh, Olympiacos has officially made contact with Zaha. And they're like, yeah, they made contact just to ask him how he is, how he's doing. I feel like it's the same case with Neymar. Like, yeah, we probably have made contact just to see what he's doing. Like, if he's feeling okay, how's the leg going, the injury again? And then just invite him to a game or something.
Yeah, yeah. 40% chance he'll watch a Europa League match.
But you know what's funny? Like, you type in Neymar and then you type Neymar news. Olympiacos doesn't come up at the start, but like transfer rumors.
Yeah,
he's like, Olympiacos is the first team that comes up, and it's like, what the heck? Like, what am I seeing?
But I think Inter Miami are now like hot favorites to get him, and it won't surprise me if it goes there.
It'll surprise me a lot, bro, because I don't think he wanted to be with Messi when he was at Barcelona. I think he wants to go to Santos, be the king there. He was always the prince of football. That was his nickname. So I think he just wants to go back, be the king in his country, and live out his days.
I don't think he has much competition with Willian. So, I mean, he'd be like...
It's a 50-50.
He'd be pretty good here, I reckon. He might crack through the ranks.
You know what's
going to be a bit of an issue, but...
Yeah. No, but you know what's going to be crazy? Like, Neymar wouldn't even be the most accomplished player we've ever had. Because Rivaldo has a Ballon d'Or. We get Neymar. And then, you know, you'd have some old heads be like, oh, but yeah, but you kids don't know Rivaldo these days. Rivaldo got a Ballon d'Or. Neymar didn't. Like, he's not even the most accomplished Brazilian if he came to us. So all I'm saying is,
but we're a big club. Do you think he'd be the most, like, accomplished player?
Yeah, definitely. Like in terms of history,
in Greece in general, it would be.
In terms of like what he's won and what he actually means, he's the biggest player. Like, he's a top 10 biggest player, like name wise at least of all time. So, yeah, obviously
when it comes to this.
I don't know. Maybe what's his name? Damn! I just keep forgetting names. You know what? It's fine.
It's been a while, mate.
It's been a while, mate. We're getting old, man. I used to be able to pull on random Olympiacos players' names, like.
You mean Onyekuru?
Kutris. Yeah, I don't know. Let's go with Kutris, bro. It'll be a challenge, him with Kutris, as the biggest player to pass from Greece.
Oh, sorry. The best player in the world just popped up. Oh.
That's the guy I was thinking about. Yeah.
Hey, no, Yanni, I got. Would you rather take Onyekuru or Willian?
Look, honestly, to be honest with you, I think Willian is actually. I think he's actually trying. I think it's just what they're telling him. I think he just doesn't fit the system. He's a panic buy, so he doesn't fit. I honestly think Willian is kind of trying,
but he doesn't fit the system. I think they just got him for the 100 years to make the fans happy. Nah, I think that's what it was, man. You could have just given us Andre Huerta. We would have been happy with that.
Honest question, though, right? Why not go for Ramos? Why has not even been a rumor? Like, Ramos, I know there was a rumor with him. And he's a free agent. He plays nowhere. For the 100 years, as a gift to the fans.
Oh, that
obviously, he's going to be overpaid, but like still.
I would have taken that over Willian, 100%.
I mean, no team is going for him, so like, I don't know. Like, I know we don't need him, but like, it's Sergio Ramos. Like, it's not, you know.
You know what? Like, if we didn't have Pirola,
yeah,
I would say. I think that was a rumor at the start of the season, if I'm mistaken, Sergio Ramos.
I remember it being a rumor for Panathinaikos. I don't remember it being a rumor for us. Maybe it was. Maybe it was for both teams. I don't know. But I'm honestly shocked that like this guy hasn't signed anywhere. And we just said, nah, we're good.
Well,
coached by Mendy Libar, I think, as well, for a small time period in Seville. So maybe that could be a case that maybe Mendy Libar didn't get along with him or something. Who knows? Maybe we're just spreading misinformation right now. Who knows?
They're going to come after you, the misinformation.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the rumors now for Sergio Ramos.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like... Hang on. Okay. It says he interested clubs, AEK Athens, as of September 22, 2024. So,
damn.
That was the last sort of rumor recorded here. Who knows, man? Honestly, I think as well, because Juventus are interested in Pirola, we might be on the market for a center back in January, depending how things go.
You reckon we sell him?
I wouldn't. I'd rather get rid of Biancone. Pirola's good, man. He's young. Well, we need to keep the young players.
Very young, yeah.
Invest in them. And Pirola's, he's looked all right at center back. Not so much a left back, but at least we know we can put him there to just like get the job done. Pirola looked very good against, I think it was Volos in the first game. I think he played that game. I can't remember. He played a game and he looked really good.
I think Mendy Libar is going to start playing Pirola a bit more. Not that he doesn't play him, but I think if the interest from Juventus is true, Pirola being an Italian as well, he would much rather sit on the bench at Juventus than sit on the bench at Olympiacos. So I think that's going to be an issue there. I think if the rumor is true, the only problem is that he might want to go. And yeah, he can play for Olympiacos. He's like, he can start a game or two, but I wouldn't put him like against AEK, against PAOK, against Panathinaikos.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't know. We'll see. 5 million is nothing, by the way. Like, just saying.
Yeah. It's a bit of damage control, to be honest, because Valde's looking to be a bit of a flop at this stage. But also, like, depending the situation with Carmo, if he's going to play now on Friday. So yeah, we might have to play Pirola, but we got Andreas Doi, who hasn't played in a while. But
yeah,
we'll see what's happening. But apart from that, Yanni, I think that's all about with the transfers. We'll just have to wait and see what happens in December, really. I think December will give us a clear indication with who might be. I think we have a bit of an indication now. Like, Yaremchuk doesn't... He might be going out on loan. He might be sold because I think we need another attacker.
We need a creative midfielder, realistically.
We desperately need a midfielder.
Because Kostoulas playing there was a bit of a weird one, to be honest. Like...
He did all right against Balk. I'm not going to lie. I felt like he was a bit better when he was playing wide. He's 17. He's going to need...
He's super young, but like that's also another problem. Like, you don't want a super young player to be relying on for creativity as well. Because especially, I feel like personally, creativity, like you need a bit of confidence to do that as well. So obviously, Kostoulas does not look like he lacks confidence, but it's not Fortuna's like banging it from like 30 meters out, wherever the ball goes, it goes. Like,
he's also a striker. That's the thing. He's not a midfielder. Like Muzakidis, he's
amazing. He has confidence.
He's been on fire, but we also need someone with experience and age. Because you need to be careful just putting a 17-year-old out there like from the get-go. But he's been good so far, Deepak Silva, man. And I guess we'll see in December. We'll get a clearer indication. Mm. And it looks like I think Oliveira won't be around for much longer. Doesn't look like
I think some players will get the benefit of the doubt. I think Velde might get the benefit of the doubt. I think Willian.
It's hard to with Willian because he's been injured twice now already as well, or once or twice, and
struggled. And I don't know why. Yeah, and I don't know why, but I just have this feeling like he's not trying to not play. Like, he's not trying to, like, he played at Fulham last season, right? And Fulham was in the Premier League, and, like, he played, like, 31 appearances. I don't think you play 31 appearances in the Premier League if you want to stop playing football. So if he just decided in the course of, like, a few months to stop playing, that's different. So I think Willian and Velde, we're going to see mostly, like, next season what happens. Because, Yaremchuk, honestly, because he is old as well, he might go. He was one of the first signings, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was one of the first, but he's only 28, but like as a striker, his stats aren't amazing. He's not, and right now, like the form El Cab is in, like I prefer just Costulas to be that striker that comes on while El Cab comes off. And I think just with the whole Willian thing that you said, it was just, I don't know, man. I don't think I think for the club, it was a step backwards. Massive step backwards signing him. And I'm not saying he's come here with the intentions of a holiday, or he's come here with the intention of not playing football. Like, I'm sure he's very, like, it's his profession. I'm sure he loves it. He wants to do it. He wants to fight. But just a club decision is a step backwards. That's how I see it.
I hear that.
Like, we knew at the end of last season, Fortunis wasn't signing. We knew Podence was alone. Orta was alone. A couple others were loans or leaving. It was just backwards. We needed the reinforcements we needed, and it's showing now. But I think looking at it by game by game, we have 4 games left, and our biggest one's obviously Porto. So 3 wins out of the next 4 is like vital.
Yeah, 100%.
That's why if we had just beaten Rangers, it would have been okay. We can maybe drop points in another game as well. But if we just crack that top 8. That will be the best thing that could ever happen.
I hear what you said before about Willian, but you know what the thing is, like, I think he was just a panic buy, and I see how it could be viewed as a step back. I think I don't think there's too much to read into it, though. I think it was just a panic buy. What I don't understand is what with Masuras, what's going to happen as well, because we blocked Bochum, or pretty much he didn't sign at Bochum last season, last transfer window. And we kept him here. Has only played 12 games, 9 in the league, 2 in Europa League. A lot of them are off the bench, won the cup as well. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting one. So
Well, he signed the extension at the start of the season, but I think he's someone we can rely on. At least last season he was. He missed some questionable opportunity this morning. Yeah, you know, you can't have a match without typical Masuras, but
can't have it.
If he's a fighter and he's willing to play for the jersey, I mean, what more can you ask for? He's a locker room leader.
Yeah, that's probably the main reason they have him. Yeah, that's true.
Thomas, where's Hydaris, mate? He's with the Kef mates. Oh, by the way, guys, Liam is announced to be a special guest player in the charity match coming up. We'll have Chrisos on very soon to have a chat about that. So we'll keep you guys posted. Good evening, Thomas. Good to see you again, mate. Thanks.
Good to see you again, mate. Yeah, thank you.
But apart from that, Yanni, I think that's about touches base for today's game.
Today's game, yeah. We haven't done this in a long time.
Yeah, I know. Far out. So everyone, thanks for joining us tonight. Well, the Biakos' next match is Australian time, FCSB, 7 a.m. on Friday in the Europa League, and we'll try and chat to you after that, and not too long after that.
Yeah.
All right. Have a good night, everyone. Thank you.
Have a good night, guys. Bye.